Open the scriptures with me in the book of Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. And I'm going to read that text that I've been reading for the last several weeks here. And I'm going to go a slightly different direction with it today. But I need to get there until to get us to the part of this authority that sometimes you don't hear that much about. But you will hear about it today. Ephesians chapter 1 is where I'm reading from, and we'll begin at verse 15. Let the word soak into your heart and life. Let it soak into your mind and your spirit. Let it become part of you. Cherish the word. Devour the word. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. The Bible says, "Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you and make mention of you in my prayers." Notice this prayer is for saints of God. Verse 17, "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him." The number one prayer that you pray for other believers is that they have the spirit of wisdom, revelation, and knowledge of him. If they get the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge, that's the basis for them to get anything else they need in this life. It's all right there. That's the bottom line right there. You can pray for other believers to get this or get that or have their needs met. I'm not talking in a superficial way, just always out to get. I'm talking about serious needs in people's lives as well as the blessings. I'm talking about all of those things. But if you can pray for people to get those individual specific items that they might be wanting in their life, maybe they'll get them. And if they do, that would be a great thing. But at the same time, I have found that many times people aren't prepared to receive the blessing. Not prepared to receive the blessing. When they get the blessing, don't know what to do with the blessing. Don't know how to handle the blessing. All of those kind of things in their life they have problems with. But if you can teach them how to get the blessing on their own, and as they arrive at that place of receiving the blessing, they'll know what to do with it and how to handle it. And so Paul here is praying that what the number one prayer for believers is that we have the spirit of wisdom, revelation, knowledge of him. Now notice verse 18, "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints is." We need to know what our inheritance in the saints is. There was a man several years ago. In fact, he's going on to be with the Lord now. His name was Jay Adams, and Jay Adams is what's called the modern father of biblical counseling. Now, not Christian counseling, but biblical counseling. Christian counseling sometimes has the connotation of we are Christians and we pray that psychology helps us. But biblical counseling says we go to the Word and find out what the Word says to us, and that's what we apply. Jay Adams wrote almost several hundred books on that. That kind of thinking, I guess you might say, that theology of biblical counseling. And I got to do some meetings with him and even did some video with him later on in his life. And he would always say this, that when you counsel someone, you're not telling them what to do. You're teaching them how they can find out what to do. Because if somebody comes with you a problem, you say, okay, here's your problem. We're going to do this. Get rid of your problem. If they don't know how to get rid of the problem, then the next time they have another problem, they come and won't help again, and then won't help again, and then won't help again. But if you help that person themselves to find out how to get the answer to their own problem and how to move into a place to where they understand what it is they need and they understand how to get it, then that situation may be this time. Next time it'll be something else, and they'll say, hey, the same principles work over here that work over there, and I can get my needs met all alone. And that's what we're doing, teaching people to be strong in the Spirit, mighty in the Lord. Now, notice what it says, verse 19. "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe? According to the working of his mighty power," the greatest mighty power display of God you see, verse 20, "is which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places." Christ Jesus, who was in heaven with the Father before he came to this earth, he took on the form and fashion of a man. And when he came to earth, he lived as a man would live. And during that time of his humiliation, we call it Philippians chapter 2, and being humbled himself as a man. Then he dies. He pays the price for all of mankind for sin. And he is resurrected from the dead on the third day. And when he's resurrected, he's exalted once again to that place and is seated with the Father at his own right hand in heavenly places. Now then, notice what it says. It goes on, verse 21. Far above. Everybody say, far above. If you got a problem or a situation or circumstance, Christ is far above it. Far above. far above all principalities. Notice, principalities, powers, and might, dominion, every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Not only in this world, but in that which is to come. There are spiritual forces and powers. There are these principalities. There are these dominions, these mights. There are names that are named who are ruling in the heavenlies. We've talked about that several different times in this study. But I want you to see that. They are ruling in the heavenlies. But Christ's power is greater than their power, not only in this world that you and I live in, but in that which is to come. Now, I'm praying every one of us live just a long, healthy, prosperous, and blessed life. Somebody say amen. Amen. But if you go today, tomorrow, the next day, next year, whatever, your life is not over. Your life is not over. As a child of God, we've got hope and a promise of the future of that which is to come. What you going to be doing in that which is to come? You notice what Christ's power is. Not only in this world, but in that which is to come. We are so consumed with this life. It's almost like this life is all there is. Think about it. I was born, you know, what was I born, 75? Something like, I don't know. Anyway, when I was born, 55. And when I was born, from that time until this, I've got a number of years that have been accrued to my age during that time. Accrued is a counting term. But anyway, it's been accrued to my life during that time. And now I'm here and I'm looking, well, that's my life. Well, that's not my life. That's just a seed of my life. It's not that much really at all. Because when I leave this world and go on to be with the Lord Jesus and go into all the other stuff He's got planned for me, think about it. After the first 100 years, this life won't seem to be that long at all. After the first 1,000 years, this life's going to seem like a blink, a flash in the pan. After the first 10,000, 100,000, 1 million, millions of years, what will this seem like? See, eternity or eternal life is that life we're going to live forever. And this will seem like just a little blink or a flash in our life. And so we should plan our lives for what is now, because you got to get through the now to get to there. But notice there's also that which is to come. The authority of the believer doesn't only function in the now, it functions in that life which is to come. I'm going to show you that this morning. Notice as it goes on down, he talks about that, verse 22. And he put all things under his feet and give him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. Somebody say, God is talking to me. Because we are his church and we are his body. Now then, in looking at that, turn with me, and I want to look a few other little scriptures here. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 54. Now, let's sort of get some idea and thinking here of what's going on here on planet Earth and just what is happening and what you can see that God has provided for us. In Isaiah 54, verse 5, I just want to sort of bring out a phrase. We could read several part of that, but I just want to bring out a phrase. Isaiah 54, verse 5, for your maker is your husband, the Lord of hosts is his name. God speaking to Israel as their husband, the Father God, is host, the Lord of hosts is his name. Host is another word for angelic beings and powers and forces and dominions. Host, when you see that word, heavenly host, are the angelic beings. When we think about the time that Christ was born, the host were in the heaven, H-O-S-T-S. We're not very familiar with that word, but it has to do with angelic beings and principalities and powers that are in and around God's universe. He is Lord of hosts in his name, and the Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth shall he be called. The Father God is God only, none other, of the whole earth. God is God of the whole earth. We won't go into it in detail, but you know the story of how that when he created the heavens and the earth and created Adam and Eve and he placed them in the midst of this beautiful garden and he gave them dominion. It says it. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. He gave them dominion and power and authority on the earth. The Bible tells us, as we've read, Psalms chapter 115, verse 16, the heavens, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth hath he given to the children of men. Message Bible says it like this: the heaven of heavens is for God, but He put us in charge of the earth. We're in charge of the earth. God's Word translation said the highest heaven belongs to the Lord, but He's given us the earth to the descendants of Adam. Just because you were born in the earth has become your obligation, or the earth has become your possession just by being born in humanity, just by being born from Adam. We all have responsibilities toward this earth. When we get born again, that responsibility is increased to not only this earth, but to the principalities and powers of the earth that are over this earth. So you think about that. A lot of folks think about today, and we think about ecology and environment and that kind of thing, and we really ought to be good to this earth and treat it right and, you know, don't dirt it up. We don't want any dirty water and that kind of stuff or any kind of a pollution going on. We want, you know, we want to have a good, clean, healthy earth that we can live on. And certainly there's absolute reason for us to, you know, embrace that idea and thought. We don't embrace it above the idea of man. If it comes that I got to choose between you and a tadpole somewhere, I'm going to choose you, not the tadpole. And so, you know, we got to have a little bit of understanding in the midst of that, but we sure do want to take care of our world. Somebody say amen. Just as human beings, we want to do that. But when we're born again as a child of God, that authority is raised from just the natural and the humanity to the spiritual. Because there are spiritual beings that are exercising their authority that we read about in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, principalities, powers, wicked spirits in high heavenly places. These folks, spiritual beings, are exercising their authority over the earth, and now as a child of God, we've been elevated to a place to have authority even over them. See your twofold authority. It is both natural and it is spiritual. You need to operate in both sides of that. Either one of them can cost you your life if you fail. We need to operate in both sides of that. God, see in Isaiah 54, verse 5, He is the God of the whole earth, but He has given this earth and the charge of it and control of it unto mankind. Now in Isaiah, look at Isaiah chapter 1. Here's the problem. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 1. Isaiah begins his book and gives his vision as he speaks to the house of Israel, which is also a double reference as he speaks to the world that you and I are part of. In Isaiah chapter 1, verse 1, the vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah, Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, the king of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The problem on planet earth today is those folks that were born in Adam, which is everybody, a great majority of them have rebelled against God. That's what's got us in the fix we're in today. I don't know anything more about it. It's very new, the happenings of whatever took place in El Paso last night and in Ohio last night. I don't know the world was all and everything, but I do know this. I know it happened because of sin. I know it happened because mankind has rebelled against the goodness of God. I don't know the peculiars or anything about it. I couldn't tell you no more than probably what most of you maybe know about it. But I do know sin was the root cause of what was going on. Now, and that is because earth has rebelled against God. We are living on a planet of rebellion. Their rebellion has taken on in this earth, and the devil and his crowd has moved in to exercise their authority and are now in charge. And you and I are the resistance. How do you know we're the resistance? James chapter 5, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. You're part of the resistance on planet Earth. I'm part of the resistance on planet Earth, headed by our captain, the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. We're part of the resistance. Now then, notice, earth, or people, or human beings, have rebelled against God. Look what he says, verse 3. The ox knows his owner. I mean, the ox knows his master, his owner, that gives him his food and gives him his shelter and does the things that he does to take care of that ox, that he might do the works of the master. He knows. And the ass, his master's crib. But Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. And that's why when you, these tragic shootings with these precious people that had nothing to do with anything, just out doing whatever they do yesterday, and their lives were taken, I guess, up 20 in one place and 9 in the other, and they were doing whatever they're doing, living their lives. You know what? All this is going on, and people want to talk about all kind of answers to this, or what they believe to be the answers. But very few people are going to say. I was thinking just this morning when I heard the news, and they was talking about different this, and why don't they do this, and more security, and more this, and, you know, metal detector. I mean, all these kind of things. That, and if they want to do those things, that's fine. I can understand the rationale in some of that, okay? But I didn't hear any of them say, you know what? Maybe it's because one of the Ten Commandments says, thou shalt not kill, and we took it out years ago. And we don't even let the Ten Commandments be displayed in our schools or in our public arenas. Maybe that might be an idea. But my people did not even consider that. Those folks that are in rebellion against God, and rebellion, they don't even consider that. They don't even think that at all. Look at verse 4. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger, and they are all gone away backwards. It reminded me when I saw that in Isaiah 53, verse 6, that great redemption scripture says, all we like sheep have gone astray. All have gone, we have each turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord had laid on Christ Jesus the iniquity of us all. That's where we're at today here on planet Earth. Planet Earth is being ruled by forces that are in rebellion against God. Spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. These evil spirits that have rebelled with Satan years ago, that have taken their unjust authority over this earth through the decree of Adam some 6,000 plus years ago now. That, as that took place, is what we're in the midst of. And you and I are part of the resistance. Now one day it's going to change. You're in Isaiah chapter 1. Bump forward to Isaiah 45. You may didn't know this was there, but some of you probably do. But Isaiah chapter 45, verse 21. One day this is going to change. Tell you and bring them near. Yea, the Lord had taken counsel together. Who had declared from ancient time? Who had told it from this time? Hath not I the Lord? And there is no God else beside me. A just God and a Savior, there is none beside me. In our country, is not trying to keep talking on the country, but in our country of tolerance and all the things that we have, yes, there's freedom of religion, and anybody can worship, I guess, about anything they want to worship in this country. I don't know if I'd set it up quite like that. But anyway, that's sort of what goes on in this country. If you want to worship a stick out in the woods, you can pick up a stick and call it God if you want to. I mean, that's what you can do, but it don't make it God. If you want to worship, you know, Buddha, or if you want to be in the Hindus where there are thousands of gods, if you want to worship those things, you can do it. But it still doesn't make it God. Amen? Because God says there is me and there's no other. Somebody said, that sure is narrow-minded. You're absolutely right, it is. Jesus said, the way is narrow. Is that right? The way is narrow. Narrow. I mean, you can do what you want to do, and people on this earth can do what they want to do, but that don't make it any more true. It just doesn't. And so, I mean, you can call yourself a man or call yourself a woman when you do the other. That don't make you the man or the woman. I got a dog at home. If he comes home and calls himself a human being, that don't make him a human being. He still barks like a dog, walks like a dog, acts like a dog, and does like a dog. I mean, it's just amazing. Just amazing. But notice, there's only one God. Verse 22. Look unto me, but ye saved all the ends of the earth, for I am God, there is none else. Everybody say, none else. None else. Ain't nobody else. Nobody else is God. We only got one. And there's only one way to get it to him, too, while I'm on this. There are not many ways to get to this God. You just take your route, I'm taking mine. We're all in up there together. Who knows? In this world today, we got preachers set up on news shows and everything. Well, who knows? Who am I to judge? If you're a man of God, you're supposed to be putting out the judgment of God. What do you mean, who are you to judge? You being a man of God and won't stand up for the Word of God? My goodness, we got some ridiculous things going on in earth today. There are not many ways to this God, the God Almighty. There's only one way, and His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Absolutely one way. Now notice what, as I read on just a little bit more, verse 23, I have sworn by myself, the world is gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return that unto me. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear or confess. There is coming a day when this rebellion will end. And every tongue shall bow, or every tongue shall confess. Every knee shall bow. Forced. Today is not that day. But there is coming a day when that shall happen. Right now, rebellion is still allowed. Anybody's ever seen a sinner before in your life? Say amen. That proves rebellion is still allowed. Okay? But there's coming a day that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear, as it says here, and I'm almost quoting, as you know, Philippians chapter 2, that every knee shall, or every tongue shall confess, as Paul put it in Philippians chapter 2, that Jesus Christ is the Lord. That day is coming where that forced action, I say forced action, it shall happen. But this is not that day. Today, people may bow their knees and confess Jesus as Lord by choice. You have the right. You have the privilege. You have the choice, but ain't nobody making you do it. Not today. Now, when we flip the switch and go into this part of eternity where Jesus comes back and sets up his kingdom, then, yes, but not today. There is this intermediary time that you and I are living in the midst of. Look real quick to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, which we read before. I just want you to see it. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. During this time, from the cross of Christ, from the throne of Christ, unto the return of Christ, during this time, there is this holding period. If you read the book of Daniel, you would see Daniel chapter 9, where it talked about 490 years to turn upon God's people. 483 years have taken place, 7 years still lack. There's this intermediary time between the last 7 years of this age and the 483 that came right up to the cross when Messiah was cut off. From that time to this time, there's this middle area, and Satan and his forces have rushed in, as they were there already, rushed in to take their ungodly and unjust authority over the earth to rule and reign, as it says right here in Ephesians 6:12. As of right now, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but what? Principalities, powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. Things are going on around planet Earth, not in the heaven where God lives, or the starry spacious heavens, but the heavens around the earth, this first heaven, in that place, there are still principalities and powers that are ruling it. We read that just a few weeks ago in the book of Daniel. We saw that. And they're still having their unjust rule around planet earth for right now. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, that Satan is the God, little letter, God of this world. Right now, the evil and wicked forces are seen to be in charge in the heavenlies. For the earth and for the world is where they're in charge of. The child of God in Christ Jesus has come out from among that dominion. And we have been translated in the kingdom of his dear son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But the rest of the world is still under it. But they won't be forever. One day, even they will bow their knee. They will confess Jesus the Lord. For some, it won't merit them salvation. It will be after that all things have been concluded. But for we now that make our own choice to do that by choice, it does bring salvation to our life. Now, what is happening is this. You say, why would it be? If Jesus came back on the cross and he died on the cross to purchase our salvation, which he did, to deliver us from the hand of the enemy, which he did, to set us free from the power of Satan, which he did, to give us the power of his word, the power of his Holy Spirit, the power of all the good things that he empowers us with, that teaches us to live in victory, then why is it that the devil is still out here doing all this stuff that he wants to do? There's several reasons we could talk about that, very great theological reasons for even the very beginning, that God's always given man a choice. He just has from the time of Adam to right now, man's just always had a choice. Mankind has always had a choice. That's there. There might be a couple of things we could talk about, but let me give you a way of thinking just a little bit. Turn with me to the book of Exodus, and let me just show you something. In the book of Exodus, chapter 23, Exodus chapter 23, turn with me there. I want to show you something there that talks about a principle that I see in God's Word. Okay? Let me get where I need to be as well. Exodus chapter 23, verse 27. The children of Israel came out of Egyptian bondage back to the promised land. And while they had been gone, you know, Abraham's family had ruled and done quite well in the promised land before they were taken off into Egyptian bondage. And so, but while they were gone, people were still there when they came back. And when Moses and the children of Israel came back to come into the promised land, they had to fight their way back in because the enemy now had taken over the promised land. Now, ask yourself the question, why was the enemy allowed to take over the promised land? Another thing happened was this. As they did come back in and regain the promised land, the children of Israel, and they went back into sin later, several years later, they go back into sin, even begun in the days of Solomon. Tremendous things happen. But in the days of Solomon, they go back into sin, and then later on, they're carried away into Babylonian captivity. While they're in Babylonian captivity, the enemy is now in Israel and doing quite well there. Why is it? Why is it that the enemy is allowed to rule and reign that the people of God are supposed to rule and reign over? Why is it that the enemy has the possessions of that you and me are supposed to have? Look in Exodus chapter 23, verse 27. Here's what God said when he talked to them about as they were coming into the promise. I will send my fear before you and will destroy all the people to whom you shall come. I will make all your enemies turn their backs upon you. In other words, this is a great victory he's talking about they're going to have when they come back in to the promised land. Verse 28, I'll send hornets before you, which shall drive out the Hivite, the Canaanite, the Hittite from before you. I will not drive them out before you in 1 year. See that? I will not immediately drive them out from before you in 1 year. We live in an instant Christianity. We want everything right now, and if we don't get it right now, it must not be God's will. It must be God's fault. He must have something better for me or something worse for me, trying to teach me something. That's the kind of world we live in. But everything just does not happen right now. Amen? I mean, you can't come to the altar and say, Pastor, I'm praying for this. I'm praying for absolute 100% this, that, and the other in areas of health, in areas of my marriage, in areas of Here's a relationship with children, in my world, in my city, in my government, in my finances, when I want it, right now. Right now. Everything just does not happen right now. And God told them, there's a reason for it. Look at the reason that he tells them. I will send hornets, all these things, verse 28, verse 29, I will not drive them out before you in 1 year, lest the land become desolate. And the beasts of the field multiply against you. By little and little, I will drive them out from before you until you be increased and inherit the land. In other words, you're not able to handle it just yet, he's saying to them. If I come in here and I just wipe this whole nation clean here, what you used to be in, Moses, and you and the children of Israel just now coming back, and basically you guys been wandering out there for 40 years, and before that, you guys were in slavery for 400 years. You don't know how to run and manage farms and agriculture. You don't know how to take over the land and build cities. You've been doing something for somebody else all this time. You haven't learned to be in charge. You haven't learned to be in control. And this is yours, he says to them. I'm going to give you every bit of it, but not at once. Because if I drive them all out, you'll go in and you'll say, where's the food? And somebody say, that's because you didn't plant it last year. Somebody say, where are the crops? Where are the livestock? That's because you're not doing the things you need to do in raising livestock like you did last year. Well, we never done it before. That's right. And so we're going to drive them out. But little by little, as you're able to take their place, then you can come in and possess the land. Some of us said, okay, you would love to have some money. Well, how much money would you love to have? Well, I'd like to have $100 million. Well, probably if you're going to get $100 million, you're going to be in charge of some large corporation. Problem is, some of us don't know how to be in charge of a large corporation. And they put some of us in charge of a large corporation, first thing would happen is that thing would die tomorrow. I mean, once the stock market found out some of us were in charge of it, tomorrow it would hit the floor. And that $100 million would go down to about $10 million, you know, all in one night. What happened? Well, we wasn't ready. Wasn't ready. And there's some things in the earth right now that God wants to do and has planned for you and I to come into those places of authority, but some people ain't ready. Some people ain't ready. There's another one. The Bible says this, and you just write it down, Proverbs 13, 22. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Somebody says, where's all my money at? The sinner's got it. The wealth of the sinner is just laid up or in holding or in storage for the just. Well, wait a minute now. I thought God wants me to have it. He does. But if you're not ready for it yet, somebody said, well, why has the sinner got it? Well, okay, ask yourself that question. If the sinner didn't have the wealth, of the righteous that they're holding for them. If the center didn't have that, that would put the whole United States economy in a severe depression if nobody had nothing. And then that would just bring all of the, you know, the wealthy wicked down to the level of some of the righteous folks that don't know how to take their money. And so until we learn how to receive that which is ours, the wealth, until we learn how to receive that, the center is holding on to it for us. So whenever you see center folks, and I'm not trying to call names to say somebody's a center or not. I don't know about them. I'm not. But I know Warren Buffett for many years have been a richer man, to, you know, the investor of Omaha and all kind of stuff. I know Bill Gates is way up there. Now I think some guy in Mexico or some guy in China just became the wealthiest man in the world. I mean, they constantly moving here, big and there, big, depending on what market does. And so they're moving around constantly. You know, I wish they didn't have all that money. Well, you better hope so, because it's your money they're holding on to. Everybody say, they got my money. Do something good with it. Do something wise with it. Make a lot more, because that'll give me more to get back from you. Not you, but them that's got the money. I mean, that's what it says. You can read all day long, Proverbs 13 and verse 22. The wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. There's this thing. Look at Revelation chapter 3. Revelation 3, verse 14. There seems to be this thing is God don't like neutrality. He does not like vacuums. And let me give you this statement that you can look and see that you can throw in here with the mix that we're talking about. Revelation chapter 3, is he taught to the church. I believe it's Laodicea that he's talking to. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 7. Which one to get to? Revelation 3, verse 14. Verse 14, unto the angel of the church of Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful, the true witness, the beginning of creation of God. I know your works, that you're cold, that you are neither cold nor hot. I would that you were cold or hot. God don't like middle, on or off, saint or sinner. So then, because you are lukewarm in the middle, neither cold nor hot, I'll spew you out of my mouth. Okay. And so understand, God is not going to leave planet Earth and take out all of the principalities and powers that are in the air around planet Earth. That creates a vacuum that the children of God aren't quite ready to possess yet. See? And God does not allow that vacuum as it does here. And none of lukewarm stuff, you don't know. The sinner's got your money. I mean, it's yours, but you don't have it, but we can let the sinner have it, you get it. That's why the people are staying in the land. People are staying in the land because you haven't got ready to possess the land yet. I can't give it to you all. Once you do, you can mess it up and lose it all. And so there's this principle, three places I've shown you. This principle I've shown you. And here's what I want you to see. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 7. Here's what the Bible says. Wherefore I was a minister, Paul said, according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, whom am least of all the saints, is this grace given, and I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men know, to see what is the fellowship of the mystery. See the word mystery? That's the secret that only the initiated know. It's not secret to the initiated. But to those who are not, they don't know it. Which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Christ Jesus, to the intent that now, unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places, might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. We, the church, are giving knowledge, wisdom to these spiritual forces around the earth in heavenly places. We're teaching, we're showing them something according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by faith of him. There's something going on in the heavenlies that they're looking at the church, and the church is being raised up to take their place. In other words, this place of authority around planet Earth, you and I are going to take the place of the spiritual powers that are in the heavenlies, and we'll be ruling and reigning rather than them ruling and reigning. How many times have you heard people talk about the new heavens and the new earth? We'll rule and we'll reign. That's what we're doing. We're tying that together, and you're beginning to see that. Let me give you a thought. In verse 11, God, through all the past ages, all the ages you look at, has had in mind a plan of preparing Christ Jesus, a people chosen, called, and faithful, whom he might place in the heavenly seats to rule through the ages yet to come. You and I are being lifted up in our spiritual authority to take the place of the enemy that has been ruling around this earth for oh so long now. You and I. How many is ready to rise to the occasion? Everybody say amen. Amen. Now then. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. It's all in the book. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace, or you say, raised us up together. Everybody say, together. Yes. Made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I've emphasized that several times, but let's keep reading. Verse 7. That made us sit together in heavenly places, that in the ages to come. Not now. Yes, the now we've emphasized for 5 or 6 weeks. But I'm also showing that also in the ages to come, in the ages to come, he might show his exceeding riches of his grace and the kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. In other words, the devil is just going to see what God did through the power of Jesus Christ in his church now and in the ages to come. You and I are going to be walking in our spiritual authority not only now, but in the ages that are to come. Let me just give you something. If you want to turn that direction, you're welcome to. But Daniel chapter 7. What happened was Daniel was praying and he had a revelation from God. And he saw the end times and the end days. And he didn't quite know what he had seen or what he had understood and that kind of thing. And God spoke to him and talked to him. And he told us what was going on. Daniel chapter 7 and verse 13. Daniel said, I saw in the night visions. There was one like the Son of Man that came with clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days. They brought him near before him. Verse 14. And there was given unto him dominion, glory, and a kingdom, that all people, nations, languages should serve him, and his dominion is everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom, which shall not be destroyed. How many knows that the kingdom is coming? Say amen. Amen. It's already in us in a spiritual way, but it is coming in a literal way. Christ Jesus is coming back to set up his kingdom on this earth. Daniel said, I saw that happening. He talked about it. He talked about these world empires he saw. He said, I saw Babylon rise up and fall. I saw the Medes and the Persians rise and fall. I saw Greece rise and fall. I saw Rome rise and fall. And I saw at the end of this time of Rome, there was this beast, this creature with these 10 toes. And in it, there was 10 kingdoms. And 3 of those rose up out of the 10. And out of the 3, 1 conquered those. And he rose up. And he became the Antichrist that he talked about. And in his days, when the Antichrist set up his kingdom, then I saw Christ come back. He came up from heaven and he destroyed the Antichrist and his kingdom, took the kingdom of him and set up his kingdom. How many knows that? Somebody say amen. Amen. That's the last days that we're in right now. That's what's going to be happening. Well, in Daniel chapter 7 verse 15 said, these great beasts that he saw, which are four of these 4 kings that he saw, of the Medes, the Persians, the Babylonians, and the Romans, he saw them, he said, are 4 kings which shall arise out of the earth. Verse 18, but the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom. Right now, Lucifer, the devil, these wicked spirits in high places in heavenly place, they got the kingdom right now. How do you know? Satan told Jesus he had it. In Matthew chapter 4, he said, all these kingdoms are mine, I'll give them to you if you'll bow down and worship me. He had it. He's got it. But he's going to be taken from him and given to you. See what it says, verse 18? The saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom. I'm going to take it. Somebody say, I'm going to take it. Say it southern style. I'm going to take it. Not going, gonna. I'm going to take it. I'm going to take it. God's given you the kingdom. Oh my, I tell you what, we got kingdom authority in our lives, and some of us really need to work on that as well. You need to take authority over your own body. You need to take authority on your own spirit, man, and soul, man, and live it righteously under Christ Jesus. There's a lot of errors there. But you know what? That's just a formation stage to get you out there when you will take authority over this whole place. Not just you, but this whole place is coming under your authority. You better start getting ready, amen? Amen. I hope you get ready, because I don't be living around here and you in charge and don't know what you're doing. That's why the devil's got it now, right? That's why he's got it now. He's holding it for us. He's holding it for us. Just like the children of Israel. Just like the wealth of the wicked is just, same way. It's all being held. Now then, I could read much more. Go down to verse 22. Look at verse 21. I beheld till the same horn made war with the saints, and the saints prevailed against them. Verse 22, and the Ancient of Days came, God Almighty, Christ Jesus. And judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Time's coming, we're going to possess this whole place the devil's got. You've heard people say, well, some will rule 10 cities, some this, that. You've heard all this. But this is bringing it together. Look at verse 27. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. We're going to take charge. We're going to take authority of this place. We're going to exercise the authority of the believer all the way into eternity. And when the Lord God comes back, Christ Jesus comes back and takes dominion, and his kingdom comes to this earth, and he takes you and me, the saints of God, and puts us in charge of it. And we're in charge of it, and we're overseeing the destruction and the casting out, taking away of all of the power of the enemy. And we take that place. Look at Hebrews chapter 2. We take that place that the devil has been exercising his authority in now for almost 6,000 years. Look at Hebrews chapter 2. Wow. Hebrews chapter 2. Verse 5. Ooh. Wow. Ooh, Lord. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 5. Frasehalohenos isoto makete heloste. Nando bohatate rasia. Eshote lehamonote. Frate ke protonene. Isototo ke halahane, shahi lo sonamate, patete brekele hase nane, nonsi, iso, hafrete, londoto kaheshe, la tate hese brotomote, ibroto lehesi, nonte kapatete, yeso liahate beke, mosulda mahane, isi, nonsi. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Glory to God. 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 Blessed be the name of the Lord. Wonderful Savior. Mighty God. How we love you. How we adore you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 5. For unto the angel hath he not put, or for unto the angels hath he not put in subjection to the world to come, whereof we speak. Angels. Not going to come. Not going to rule this world to come. Not angels. Verse 6. But one in a certain place testified, and he's talking about Psalms chapter 8. One in a certain place testified, saying, "What is man? Not angels, but man. Angels not going to run this place. Men are going to run this place. Mankind. That you are mindful of him, or the Son of Man, that thou visitest him." You have made him a little lower than the angels. This is quoting what's said in the book of Psalms, chapter 8, verse 1. Read it, the text. You've made him a little lower than Elohim, God himself. You've made him a little lower than angels. You crowned him with glory and honor. You set him over the works of your hands. You and I have been crowned with glory and honor and been set over the works of God's hands. Verse 8, you have put all things in subjection under his feet. Don't it sound just like Ephesians chapter 1? Just like it that we've been reading about. All things are under our feet in Christ. You put all things in subjection under his feet, for in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. You now don't see it yet. Now we don't see it yet, but we will. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with the glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Because of what Christ did for us, he raised us up to this place of authority. And right now in the earth, this rebellion tends to still reign around the earth. For we that have been born again, we came out from under that dominion. But the rest of the earth resides in this darkness and this wickedness that's upon the face of the land. But the day is coming when all of that will be given up and you and I will take charge and we'll take the place of what the devil's been doing for the last 6 years, but we're going to rule in righteousness. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Absolutely. Look, as you're right there, look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19, the last place. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. He said, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the work of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ Jesus, when he raised him from the dead and set him over his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principalities, power, might, dominion, every name that is named, not only in this world, but in that which is to come. The authority of the believer does not stop just in your lifetime. It does not stop just in this world. It extends throughout all eternity. You and me going to take the, and you know what? My, there it is. That's what makes us so hated of the devil. When you looked at why the devil attacked Adam and Eve, there's a lot of reasons for it. But one of the reasons was that Adam got what the devil had. Devil used to have a dominion authority over this planet. He was cast down at that point. This whole civilization before Adam and Eve was destroyed by water, Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. And Adam was given what the devil used to have and rule and reign over. He was given it. Well, the devil waged war against Adam or mankind all the days of his life. Why would the devil hate you? Because you and I have been given, promised, prophesied, foretold, it's in the will, you and I have been given his place of authority. Now, right now in the realm of the Spirit, for you, as we talked about our authority in the last week that we have in our houses, our families, ourselves, our children, our church, our city, our town, our authority as we reconcile that with the free will of man and other things that go on, we talked about that. Right now, you've got that authority and you can live outside the dominion of the devil right now. Right now. But there's coming a day where you'll be part of what causes the whole earth to live outside of that dominion. Because we're going to take the place of the devil. He's got it now. He got it now, but his day's coming. Amen? Amen? His day's coming. His day's coming. We're going to take it from him. The saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom. That's us. Stand up with me this morning. Let's go before the Lord.